Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where educators go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top leaders across the globe. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Danny Sunshine Bauer.
This is episode number 100, bonus episode with Danny Sunshine Bauer. Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer, a former classroom teacher and school administrator turned life and leadership coach. I'm also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show, this is with my Thursday 6:30 mastermind. We explore a number of different topics, and Sam, you'll see, is on the hot seat. She has a dilemma where she has a staff member who does a lot of things right, but he's a bit confused in terms of his role and how he fits in to the organization and sometimes how he should utilize his time. So we help her think through that topic. Thanks for spending some time with me and listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. But before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take just some time to thank our show sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by CSC Consulting Group, whose mission is to support people in education and nonprofit organizations to improve processes and enhance the performance of their organizations. Learn more at www.cscconsultinggroup.com. Better Leaders. The mastermind has been closed for a few months, but now that I'm pursuing this full time, I have more capacity to serve you and help you accelerate your leadership growth. What is a mastermind? I describe it like a party. I invite great people to this party and believe great things will happen as a result of having authentic conversations around leadership. We meet weekly, engage in rich book discussions, and everyone gets an opportunity to solve their most challenging problem via the hot seat. You can learn more and reserve your spot today at betterleadersbetterschools.com/MM. Good to see everybody again. I'm going to pull up the questions for deep work. Man, I hope you've been enjoying that one. And I think where I want to start first is just to hear about your own sort of practices. And in the pages that we were reading, Cal Newport was talking about, you know, obviously it's all about deep work and this intense focus and concentration. But do you have any practices or strategies that you currently use, right, that helps you really develop your ability to focus and develop your intellect, right? And just stretch your brain, make it sweat. So I'll put the question in the chat box, but I'm just curious if you have any type of mental challenges that you put yourself through just to try to, I don't know, get smarter in some way or better in another with focus or with just your intellect. Is that Cassie or is that Sean who came on there? Or is it Fred? One thing for me, and it really impressed me, way back when, you know, I was in college, I had a professor who was blind, and he was able to recite like all the poetry from the entire curriculum by heart. And that was just so, so impressive. And after that, you know, I tried to start memorizing poems. And I've also memorized scripture before from the Bible and just different things like that, because it really stretched my own mind and helped me, I guess, internalize some things I found inspiring or beautiful.
I've done the same, Daniel, with scripture, but I wasn't sure that's what you meant, because, you know, Cal Newport in his book, his strategies were intense and detailed, you know, about walking around the room and, you know, putting something with it. So I haven't done anything, you know, like that, but I have done, you know, Bible verses. It's probably the only way that I've, you know, in that sense.
I was listening to a Tim Ferriss podcast. He's pretty neat if you guys don't know him. And a recent one was all about how to like learn things deeper and faster and sort of his system. And he was talking about, I forget the exact name, but I had to do something with like a mansion or a house. And you would walk through a house and somehow associate different rooms and different areas and maybe a chair or a painting or whatever with like a word or a number. And by visualizing it and actually like walking through it, you're able to recite like long stretches of just data, I guess. So that's something that he's done. Or another mnemonic that he used, he was talking about the Spanish word for cow, which I guess is vaca. And he would, for example, memorize a cow with a head of a vacuum, you know, a vacuum. I pronounce that kind of funny. And, you know, it would be going around the pasture picking stuff up, but that's how he was able to memorize like certain words. And he did that quite a bit, you know, just that worked for him. We can move on to a different question unless anybody else wants to share on that. Well, in this chapter two, Cal, you know, really talked a lot about technology. So I'm curious if anybody does internet Sabbaths where you limit or schedule or avoid technology in any type of way. And I'm also curious if you schedule internet use either at home or at work.
I've been trying that a lot of it this year. And I mentioned it previously, like I bought some free reading books, just like in the month of July when I'm off, just to try to just get away from the leadership stuff. And also to turn off, like the plan is to turn off the work phone and to put a response on my email, but I'm only going to try to check it once a week. So if you want to get in touch with me, you have to be on the inside circle that you have either my Voxer thing or which is technology or my other phone number. I tried this weekend too, to just step away for a few hours. And that was, at first it was hard, but then all of a sudden you get kind of caught up in the moment, and it was amazing what I was actually able to get done. So I like the practice. The hard thing is that Linus kind of effect, that my phone is my blanket and I cannot be, you know, without it. But I really am going to try to attack that this summer more, just to kind of recharge the battery and disengage from that constant mind running of what do we need to do to get school better.
Right. Carla, you were going to say something?
Yeah. When I was working on my administrative endorsement, I kind of went all in, and I would turn off my phone and I would spend 3 hours reading and working on papers and go for a hike for an hour, and then sit down and kick out another 3 hours. And it was very helpful to turn off all those notifications, to turn off my phone. And I realized how much I enjoyed it. And I got way more done than I ever thought I could doing that. And so very worthwhile.
Does that continue to this day? Or was that just during a time when you're working on the administrative certificate?
Definitely have continued it, especially as I'm transitioning into my new job. Yeah. I will turn my phone off and focus on, you know, coming up with my to-do lists and brainstorming ideas and different ways to do things. So, yeah, still doing it.
Cool. Anybody else on that one?
Yes, I do mine pretty much every night, and it really started out not by choice, because my son wanted my phone for his nap time songs. And so to get him to bed, I would give him my phone. Like the first few, I don't know, probably about the week, I had a hard time because I was always trying to, like, if I got bored, I'd be looking for my phone. And then I'd remember, oh, it's in the room with him. But now I got to where I actually enjoy that time. And that's when I get to read. And I got a lot more done there towards the end of the year. I, you know, grade papers, whatever I needed to do. So that's what I do, that, and then we limit TV time in our house. So we just have two nights a week that are my wife's TV shows that, you know, she's not going to miss. And then the rest of the time we don't watch the TV.
You don't have any shows, Cash?
I have I like The Walking Dead and like Longmire, my two shows, and neither one are on right now. So
I knew you had some shows too. Sam, do you have any rules or anything that you do?
I feel like I don't really have anything consistent. I mean, I do have scheduled times I check my email, which I stick to, but it's hard because sometimes pressing things come up, and that's got me into trouble. And even though I have a perfectly valid reason for not checking, I'm trying to find the balance. I will say one of the pieces I've got from deep work, which has got me away from the computer, is every week I have picked out on Thursdays, I have 2 hour blocks of time where I've put it in my calendar and I literally put it in as deep work. And I tell my receptionist to interrupt me if there's a problem, but there's always someone in my office with me and we're planning something. It's usually been something for next year that we need to get solidified. And I'm just very clear in that this is what we're working on. And if there's something that needs to be addressed, interrupt me. But planning that time out ahead of time, given how busy things are with my new job, has been like instrumental in moving us forward. Just saying ahead of time, we're committing this time, and unless there's a fire, don't bother me.
Good. You said, you know, you get a little bit of trouble or something if that happens, turning off notifications, silencing your phone, that kind of thing. Is that from Like, who are you in trouble with?
Well, speaking very generally, definitely, you know, say that there's someone else within my organization who I may report to.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
I got you there. So I wonder, you know, I don't know if they'd be flexible with it or not, but like, you know, if you put your phone right on do not disturb mode, but mm-hmm. maybe if that individual has, yeah, I got that. Maybe if that individual has your number and you put them in your favorites, right? Even if it's on do not disturb, your phone will ring. Or at least that's a setting you can make. So like you're on do not disturb mode, but your favorites, so mom, your partner, or this individual calls, your phone will ring. But the notifications won't ding, you know, you won't see the email and that kind of thing. So I don't know if that's a workaround. And that's a conversation to have too. But, you know, maybe that's something that would work. So
Yeah, definitely.
Good to see you, Fred. I don't know if you want to chime in on that or not, but we're talking about how we schedule our time with internet use or technology, if we use anything at home.
Yeah, I don't know how this sound is going to work. Can everybody hear me?
Sounds good, buddy. Yeah, it's funny because every time somebody's on a phone and they have their screen off or something, they're like, can you hear me? Does it sound all right? And it always does. It does. But go ahead.
That's crazy. Baggage claim at this airport.
Thank you for joining us, though.
Yes, glad to be a part. I'd say, like it was mentioned, it's not really consistent, but it comes out to be that at about 8 o'clock, I just shut it off and just wind into my nightly routine. And so don't get so many calls, and I don't go near social media in the evening. I try and wind down because coming from the high school, you know, we'd be tied up so much with after school activities and just closing out the quarter of the day things. And so definitely appreciate and look forward to just going offline.
Gotcha. Well, thank you for chiming in there. Another question that I have was, when was the last time you were truly bored? And if I'm honest, like, I need to pause and think a little bit longer, but I can't, in the recent past, I can't think of a time I was bored. And this book really messed with me because I think we've read this part. I'm not sure if this is a spoiler alert or not, but he talked about in the grocery store, right? Just waiting in a line, waiting to pay. So often, I mean, we go to grab our phone and just check email, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, whatever our pleasure is. And we don't even wait those. I mean, it's literally maybe a few minutes and wait to get checked out. So I've been better about that. I'm putting away the phone because every time I reach for it, you know, I feel like I hear Cal just on my shoulder, like, put your phone away, Bauer. But in terms of just like being bored, I remember that as a kid. I don't remember that recently. Has anybody experienced boredom recently?
I think I have a hard time not doing anything and enjoying not doing anything versus being bored. So like I recently hung a hammock in my backyard because this stress was just like eating me alive. And my hammock is like the most amazing thing in the world. It's under this big tree. And like I make time on Saturday with my husband while he's barbecuing. I'll go lay in my hammock and life is good. Oh. And I'm just being still and I don't feel bored. I feel amazing, but I'm technically not doing anything. So would you classify that as bored?
That's good. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. And I think I pulled it from the book and, you know, him talking about being bored, but I think that's the bigger, the higher level insight, right? Is when do you just pause and have white space, nothing scheduled, so you can let your mind wander. And that's part of his connection too, is in that unstructured time, sometimes some magical things happen as a result. So I love the hammock, man. I want one for my place now. Who knows what that'll look like, you know, in August or September when we move. But that sounds wonderful, Sam. That's awesome. Does anybody else have a hammock story or a boredom story or just something you do to relax?
I also have a hammock that's under the willow tree in the house outside. And I agree with Sam 100%. You know, it's the idea that just being able to recharge and not to like watch the tree move or hear the birds or the crazy cows that were next door staring at you, kind of stuff, you know. Just this, I mean, it's funny, but I'm kind of the same thing with you, Daniel. I don't remember the last time I was bored, but I remember there's those times, like I can go on I remember right before you and I first met, I remember driving to Ohio and like listening to all those podcasts and kind of PD'd myself on one way. But then on the way back for 8 hours, I don't even know if I turned on the radio. I think I sat in silence and just drove. And it was probably just relaxing to just not have any conversational responsibilities or anything. You just have to focus on the road and just kind of go. And the hammock's kind of that same thing. And it really is recharging because there's no responsibilities on you. Nobody's calling. Nobody's demanding. There's no problems to fix. You just get to kind of swing and sway. And so I would definitely recommend the hammock. Mm. They make doorway hammocks too that you can get if you don't have a lot of space in an apartment.
I love it. Yeah, I don't think we're going to have a lot of space. Our goal, like one of our shared, I guess, values for whatever type of home we rent would be some type of outdoor space, maybe a little green space if we can get it. So, Carly, I don't know if you know or not, but I'm moving to Belgium. Were you aware of that? Yeah, okay, cool. So everybody else definitely knew, but excited for that one. So I don't know what life will look like. I know I'm going to be, going on an adventure. So we'll see. Door hammocks it is. Anybody else with how they unplug, relax, let their mind wander, that type of thing?
I, of course, hike. And then I also fly fishing. Oh. That's something where just sitting there fly fishing, I stop thinking about work and all the demands and everything and just kind of focus on the water and the fish. And that's very relaxing to me. And with the hammock, they do have, just so you know, small packable hammocks that I'll take it hiking, and then you can set it up between trees wherever you hike to. And it's tiny. It's really small. You should try it.
That's lovely. I've seen people do that at Herman Park in Houston, which is easily a world-class park. It is so beautiful. And I'm always jealous when I see them just laying out there in the beautiful weather, you know, and relaxing. But Carly, you have a great life. Every time you talk about hiking out there and connecting with nature. And I know Jack about fly fishing. Can you tell us a little bit, like, are you out there for an hour, 2 hours? Is that half a day? Like, how long are you out there? What, you know, tell me a little bit about it. I know nothing about fly fishing.
It really depends. Sometimes I'll go out for, you know, half a day.
Yeah.
I have to drive a little ways to get any place to fly fish, truly. So, and that's Montana. So it takes, you know, you measure things in hours. How many hours does it take to drive there? You don't measure in miles.
Okay.
So I usually go for half a day, sometimes a whole day. It's a lot of fun. You don't really have to know what you're doing to enjoy it.
Really? Okay. And how many fish do you normally, I guess, catch in a half day session?
It really depends. Sometimes I'm just focused on the water and just relaxing and catch nothing. And that's 100% fine with me. And then it really depends upon where I'm fishing. Sometimes a couple of fish, and that's about it.
Great. I think that might be a little bit good segue for our last question before that. Sam's on the hot seat. But I can imagine, you know, being with Carla, fly fishing, staring at the water. And Cal talked about this productive meditation when he just walks, right? But also zones out and, I guess, finds some peace and de-stresses and that type of thing. So being in the water sounds like that would be something. Maybe the hammock, too. But I'm wondering if there's any things that you do that's also active that allows you to clear your mind. And I know, like Sam, you do the lifting, too, in the mornings. Each morning you hit the gym really hard. What are other things you all do that's active and clears your mind?
One thing I do in the morning, the first thing I do when I get to work is within my Google Calendar, I have this like running to-do list, and I read it in some book. I can't remember which one. I read a lot. Yeah. And I basically just unload my brain, like everything that's on my mind that I need to get done, I unload. And it's usually like a list of a dozen random things, some of them all related to work. Some of them is like pick up milk on the way home. And I empty my brain of everything so that I can focus on the day ahead. And that helps me to stay focused for sure.
Very good. Anybody else have some type of active practice to clear their mind?
Yeah, something that I like to do when school is going on is I get there pretty early when nobody else is there, and that really allows me to settle into the school day. and the drive to in the morning. I listen to some tape, sometimes some sermons, sometimes some podcasts, and just ease into the day. And then when I get there in the morning, I'll walk the building. Not looking for burglars or anything, just kind of soaking in the atmosphere.
That's cool. Well, hey, let's switch over to the hot seat, and then we'll end a little early. I want to leave some space. Something that I've been building into the groups, this came out of a talk I had with the Thursday at 8 p.m., 8 p.m. group. We have a personal assessment, weekly assessment that'll go out via email. People do it, sometimes they don't. But one thing they mentioned that they'd like to do is to publicly say, you know, here's the one thing I'm going to accomplish for by next week. And then report out on that, you know, within the group too. They think that would help them, I guess, hold their feet a little bit to the fire to get some stuff done, right? And so I can see how that's going to help. So I just want to make sure we end a little bit of time so that we can be able to share like what that one big thing will be. So, you know, just have that in the back of your mind. So when it is probably about 5 till or something like that, we'll go around, not explain in detail like why that's our goal, but just what that one big thing is you want to report back to the group. Plus, when I'm doing this full time too, I might send you an email or a text or something, or give you a call just to see too how that's going and see if I can help or if we want to chat about it, you know, that kind of thing. And just to, that's one way I can offer more value and serve you as well. So I'm really excited about that and just wanted to tell you about it. So Sam, you're on the hot seat. How can we serve you tonight?
You know, overall, I've made so much progress. I don't remember if everybody's up to speed, but I took over as high school principal at this new site, and I've now been in the position for about 10 weeks, and I feel like I've made real progress with my team. I've connected. I have, like, my whole calendar set for next year. So, like, I'm in such a better place, and I'm really happy and overall loving the position. But I think my biggest issue, and really it might be a small one, I have this guy who's my, I think I've mentioned him before, he's my facilities guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's also my security guy. Mm-hmm. He'll help with first aid too. So anyway, I've noticed with him, he has a really big heart, and his main focus in his job description is to be facilities, to make sure that facility needs are taken care of, to do small repairs, that sort of thing. And that said, in his mind, if you were to ask him, his biggest priority is the kids. And he has the biggest heart for kids. And many times he'll intervene in issues with kids and kind of cross lines and boundaries sometimes. And he lacks a skill set sometimes for the facility side. And so we have addressed the conversation already. And many times it'll come back to, but we're putting the needs of the kids first. And he, almost like he's employing a teacher mindset. And so it's really hard because I love his heart, but at the same time, he's my only facilities guy. So it's like, how do I have this conversation with him in a way that makes him feel acknowledged, yet at the same time makes it clear that I need his eyes on other things as well.
So your question is like how to change his perspective?
Yeah, I mean, and I've brought it up to him already. Like, this isn't the first time, and he's admitted himself, and I've already talked to his, like, direct or facility supervisor about perhaps mentoring him over the summer, because he works year-round, to grow his capacity so that he's able to identify needs within the facility. So it's just kind of like this ongoing problem, and I would prefer not to, like, go to, like, a formal coaching form and documenting. Like, is there a way that I can mentor him and help him to, like, see what he needs to do here without, I mean, I feel like I've said it directly, but maybe I'm missing something.
The practical facilities guy in me is going to ask you always go back to, like, the job description piece. But then the other thing, I guess, is really the bigger, do you have like a work order or an accountability system for things that need to be done? Or the other thing to look at is like creating a checklist of things that he needs to do every day. Bring it back an old book. And the idea of that, listen, every day when you get here, these things need to be done first. And then after that, then going to, and it's an empowerment piece, because then when he identifies stuff that's wrong, he can bring them to you. And then if he has suggestions for better ways to do stuff, there's a great book called It's Your Ship, which was about this Navy commander and how he kind of empowered his sailors to be very problem solving and mindset that, you know, they don't bring problems and you fix it. They come to you with solutions. So that definitely would be, I'll send you that. I'll put that link on the Facebook page, but I think a checklist would be real good. And that way you're coming from a way to give him an opportunity to be more effective in his job. So it's 100% supported from the mindset of going, listen, these are the things that I want you to check every day. These are the things that need to be done every week. These are the monthly things. And then let him brainstorm and come up with ideas too of what do you think are the facility pieces that need to be done. And it's easy to get caught up in the minutia of stuff like, you know, you're taking care of a toilet, but something with a kid, you don't want to take advantage of that heart. But I think the checklist would be a great starting point because it gives you, yeah, there it is. It gives you a great conversation piece. And then he gets to say, okay, you know, listen, I've got these things done. And as you go through those checklists, more stuff's going to come up, but it really allows him to be that ownership of the building because he's the facilitator. If the building's not safe and secure and functioning, then learning can't take place. And the best thing that he can do is, and I'm rambling here a little bit, but the best thing he can do is to make sure that you've got a great structure, that the facilities themselves are top notch so that people want to come and see the cool stuff that they're doing.
So my next question, you're right with a checklist and even a way of tracking. We don't really have, because we're a group of charter schools, we don't have work orders as they would in bigger districts. So definitely creating a system would help for sure. And I guess I feel like my weakness as a leader is when it comes to facilities and like even daily routines, like I know walking through the building, I know assisting teachers, but like I feel like I don't know everything I should know about what my facilities guy should even be doing. Like, I feel like I'm very reactive, and when there's a problem, I call him. But I'm not, is there a resource I can look at to kind of see what the best ways to use my facilities guy is? Because I don't know.
You're going to have to pick up the phone and call a school. Most facilities guys, if you've got a maintenance person, they may be able to steer you in a direction. But if there's a public school nearby that you think does a great job with their physical plant, you reach out. And anytime I've gone supervising a school, if I go, always they always tell us is that bathrooms and the floors, when somebody comes to visit your schools, if the bathrooms are clean and the floors are shiny, it's a good thing. And I try to make a point that when I go visit a school for a sporting event or something, if I see that really good, I try to find a custodian and tell them that, listen, we take notice. I'm coming to visit, but I just want to let you know your bathrooms look great. And watching the smile on those people's faces, like, because that matters. But I really think that if you found a public school district and said, listen, we've got a guy we're trying to train, we want to get up, can we find some time for him to come out and just walk with your day custodian or your facilities guy just to see what's good? And people are going to share resources. They want to see, they're all the same mindset. We get an education for the same reason, but I think if you pick up the phone and call, you'll be surprised at the positive response that you get from people.
Today's podcast is brought to you by CSC Consulting Group, whose team represents and shares a stake with the populations they serve. Their mission is to support people in education and nonprofit organizations to improve processes and enhance the performance of their organizations. You can learn more at www.cscconsultinggroup.com.
I think that's a key thing because we work in isolation too much. I mean, that's part of the huge value of this group, right? Working in isolation within a school or a district, depending on the role, but also wanting to be around people that are like-minded, that are hungry or driven, you know, and want to do the best, you know, for kids. But what I like with what John's saying is, yeah, you know, you connect, you reach out, and that person will get equipped and empowered because you are asking for this guy to get some training over the summer and build his capacity, that sort of thing. But I don't know if you caught this little nugget that John mentioned. He visits a school. He tells that custodian, man, this place looks great, mm-hmm. you know? And this person has a huge smile because they take pride in their work and it's seen. So often the roles of, you know, custodians and engineers, foremen, the main office, like any type of support staff, cafeteria, right? How often are they really highlighted for the great work that they do? And so I think thinking about ways that to celebrate, his work, you know, and get some early wins and build some momentum. I love what John said. I don't know if you caught this, but fusing the idea that creating a great environment, a safe environment, a clean environment benefits the kids, right? Because he's really all about the kids. He might not see the connection between the work and how that benefits students, and maybe some more explicit teaching there. I wonder if there's a way to like have kids talk about how much they love their school, you know, or, you know, different aspects of it, but, and then presenting him with that because that's his work. You know what I mean? I think he'd really potentially enjoy that kind of stuff. And then finally, you guys, you know, you mentioned the checklist. We read Checklist Manifesto, but yeah, call another school. You can call another principal, find out what kind of great checklists are out there or routines. I think connecting that, hey, if you knock this out every day, then you can help with, you know, the discipline stuff, the playground things. You know, I think the stuff that he really gets a lot of satisfaction from, but you got to knock this out first and do it well. He might become very creative and learn how to be really efficient and super productive in his role so that he could spend more time doing parts, you know, that he loves. It sounds like maybe there might be a little bit of a mismatch for his role and what he wants to do, or maybe it might be that he needs training and education. You know, there's some assumptions we're making there. Do you, I already know the answer, but do you have money to hire a facility guy and let him be a disciplined first aid guy? Yeah, of course not. I knew the answer was no. Okay. Had to ask though. Had to ask.
Hey Sam, and I feel like I'm hogging stuff, but this speaks to me because of what I do with my day job. The other thing too is the training piece of letting him know that he's a great point person. I've got a great day custodian that we do spirit days and he dresses up. I mean, this guy dressed up like a stormtrooper one day and just gets into it and does a really great job. But having the conversation of listen, when you come across a kid that's crying, this is where they got to go. You know, the best thing you can do is get that kid help as fast as you can and kind of work through them and train them up a little bit that they're not counselors, but they're definitely a point person. So they can get the people, the counselor, the teacher, you involved in a faster method. And then that way, they, you know, once again, circling back to the idea that the best way for you to serve kids is to handle these things in a timely fashion. And it doesn't put him in a bad spot. It still gives him a role. He's still looking for things and places to be engaged with kids. But when there's problems, he's not stepping outside of his bounds, which becomes problematic. And that's the kind of thing that gets people removed from their position. But you can definitely take advantage of that heart and the fact that he sounds like he connects with the kids real well.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, they're going to talk to him. So if a kid says, hey, you know, Mr. Johnson, I'm feeling really bad. There was a fight, blah, blah, at my house last night. You know what? Let's get you to the counseling office so you can talk to somebody. Here, I'll walk with you. And then get them in and boom. Now they've got that when I had a problem, you know, this guy was there to help me.
I wonder if too, if it'd be an interesting activity, you know, going back to what John said about job description, but if you get some type of checklist that's going to be beneficial for him. I'm curious if you wrote down a list on your own, here's the priorities I see that you need to do. Then he wrote on his own, here's the priorities as I see it. And then you guys, have you done anything like that and come together and then talk about it? Because that probably needs to get adjusted too.
Yeah, you know, I have weekly meetings with him and he appreciates that time where he has a standing appointment with me where we talk about priorities. And that's one of the challenges is my priorities and his priorities differ. And they're both important. And it's not that his don't matter. It's just I have other personnel to address. I have a school counselor. I have teachers. I have these people who can address the issues that directly impact kids. Whereas he is my only guy that can address these issues with facilities. And so it's a matter of, I really like what you said, John, about empowering him to realize that the time he puts into facilities directly impacts kids. Because I have not tried that approach, and I think that would make a big difference with him at all. So I think I'll definitely try that. And then I also think I need to do a better job, if I'm being honest, of like putting my requests to him in writing, because it's much easier when you're running around and I pass him in the hallway to ask something. But if we had a system which we don't. We have incident reports and we have systems for other things, but not like a work request kind of thing. I think that would help him to know, oh, it's in writing, it's a priority. We need to, you know, attack this.
In Chicago, to save money, and probably like many school districts, they cut and cut and cut. And the custodial staff that did a brilliant job keeping the school clean and great for our kids got cut from like six people or something, six or seven down to two, right, during the shift. And this was a very big building. Small school, student body-wise, 800 kids, but three buildings. It was an old Catholic school and then two brand new wings built on it. It was huge. We chased kids all day. Like, I was so fit. That's how I learned to run a marathon. Big, big space. So anyways, it got dirty. And we also didn't have a way of tracking. John put in their Google Forms. I think that's smart. I use this for my deans too. So with both of them, teachers, you know, everybody that needed access had access. It was a very simple form. You want to have a date. And if it was a discipline form, it was aligned to the student code of conduct. And after they submitted, hey, this kid was plagiarizing, they submitted. It actually brought up appropriate responses they can expect because they're not going to get suspended, you know, even though they might ask for that. It would say like, here's the things that you can expect as a consequence. But going to facilities, I think that's important to track. And then during the weekly priority standing meeting you have with him, mm-hmm. I would meet with the custodial crew and the engineers. And it was also managed by a third party too, right? Because that's always, it's cheaper somehow. I don't know. Maybe it has to do with insurance and things like that. But we would have a meeting. We would go through the spreadsheet. Here's what people are requesting. And I know it. And Google, you could see if somebody deleted a row or whatever. So there's a way to check that out. But we could have very honest conversations if the work was getting done. So I think Google's a real great way to go. Cash, Carla, Fred, do you have any ideas around this either? Maybe not necessarily facilities, but you know, just in people in general and how to deal with a guy who has a different perspective on what's most important.
No, I feel like John pretty much covered a lot of it. But I'd just say be upfront and honest with him. That's how I would want to be dealt with if I was in that situation. Just, you know, be upfront and honest. What do you expect from me? And, you know, setting those expectations just so he knows what to do. But I think John, I mean, it's pretty much what he said. So
I second that or third that, what John said. I think it's important that he understands what an important member of the team he is and how much you rely upon him and that it's not something that is minor. That this is a major part of what the students need and what the staff need, what everyone needs. And it truly matters because it sounds like he really does want to matter and be a positive member of that team.
Yeah, he does. And that's why it's hard because I really don't want to hurt our relationship by making it a work performance issue. And it is a work performance issue, but really like I've said, one of many principals he's had this year. And so I really want to give him the benefit of the doubt in getting to know me and us building our relationship. And so I think I'm really going to take the approach of making him feel like you're my guy. Like you're a person who can create this incredible impact in this way. And there's no one else who can do what you do. Literally, like he's it.
You know, he could potentially become a reward structure for you too. If you've got a kid that's acting out, but's got a good relationship. Mm-hmm. And wants to be physical, you might have a way for a kid, listen, if you can calm down and be settled in, we can get you working with Mr. So-and-so for a little while to help him. And then that gets them out of that environment to kind of realize that they can redirect their energy if they're really upset. So then he becomes a pivotal part of your discipline structure if he's willing to buy in.
One of his strengths, like I said, is the kids. And I have a lot of social emotional issues. And one of my tier two interventions for PBIS is something called check in, check out. And I have a kiddo who has no male role model in his life. It's a terrible situation. So he checks in and out with this staff member every day. And it's made a huge difference in this kid's life. And so it's not that he doesn't bring great qualities. He does. It's just finding a way to balance that time with the kids with other needs as well, you know?
Yeah, definitely second echo approach y'all mentioned that everybody on the call in terms of the strength-based, asset-based coaching that you're framing the conversation. And I think it'll be well received, knowing and having the evidence that he is contributing in so many different ways. It just seems like, I think it was pointed out that systems and procedures aren't in place to say, this is what I need done, and like that. And so creating that is, I believe, and getting him into the cadence of it, I think, starting him with that, what he does well, and then showing him what needs to be done through the expectations. This is what I'm looking for, making it really clear and plain. I think he'll totally buy into it. And the other part about him having conversations with students at times about whatnot, it seems like I had to talk with a staff member before about this, and I just let them know that, you know, because some things that you may not know that you report, and you will put yourself in a situation where, you know, you may not want to be. So just if they come to you with something that may be sensitive, or you can pivot or pull another staff member on that instead of like going into it and being a part of a situation. Just, I think, couching it in that to give them a perspective that would allow for him being able to decide a little bit more efficiently to send the student where they need to go to get the necessary help instead of diving into it. If I heard that that's something that's happening, I don't.
Yeah, no, that's really helpful insight. Thank you.
Do you have any other questions around this, Sam, or anything else we can help you with?
No, I think that was my primary issue. Like I said, overall, things are going pretty well for me. I'm anxious to get through finals in summer. I have our first senior graduation tomorrow, so I'm going to be on a stage for 2 hours. And I'm anxious about, like, scratching my nose at the wrong time when I know every parent's going to be taking pictures as their senior shakes my hand. So I'm a little bit anxious about that, but I'm sure it'll go just fine. You don't have any tips for maintaining a perfect posture on stage, do you?
I would say, yeah, just let it go. Scratch your nose. Yeah, you know. And let me say, it's high school, right? Life goes on, so it's okay. We are just a piece of granular piece of sand, right? On this beautiful beach, man. So you want it to be a great experience for the kids, but if you scratch your nose, we're probably not going to read about it in the New York Times or anything, so you're okay.
You don't think so?
I know so. I know so. John said scratch if you got it. That's good. Well, cool. Hey, let's talk about like that one big thing that we want to accomplish. Cash, have you been thinking about it? What do you want to get done by next week?
Yeah, I'm presenting at 4 different conferences over the summer. So by next week, I'd like to have my outline done and completed, so that way I can get into more detail. So that's my goal by the end of next week.
4 different conferences? Which ones are those?
They're district ones. So we have one's called like a Palooza, and they're secondary and elementary. And I'm doing it on bringing Google into the math classroom, like integrating math with Google and turning it online. So I'm doing that. It's the same one, but it's just at 4 different places.
Awesome. Good. Feel free, share it with the group if you want, and that kind of thing, get feedback. You know, we're here to help for sure. How about you, Carla?
Well, my position officially starts July 1.
Nice.
And so I wanted to get a letter of introduction, some sort of letter to send to all the superintendents and principals that I will be working with. Some of them may already be most of them are already out of school. Today was our last day, but getting that letter written and sent out.
Very good. How many districts are you working with again?
25.
It's awesome. How many schools does that end up being?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question.
Okay.
I don't know yet. Maybe next week I'll be able to tell you.
Oh, that's fine. 25 districts. Wow. That's something you can share as well. I don't remember. Have you joined the private Facebook group? Are you on Facebook? I'm assuming you are, but you might not be.
I am on Facebook, but I have not. I don't know how. You'll have to send
that. So I'll make a note right now, but in tonight's email, There'll be a little link because I think Fred might have just joined the other day too. Sam's in there. John's in there. Pretty sure Cash is in there. I don't know. We'll have to touch base with Sean. Cashy's in there too. So, but that's a place then so where we can share resources, solicit feedback, you know, that kind of thing, and just trying to add, you know, more value with the mastermind. Plus, coming up, haven't done it yet, but thinking about a way to get all the mastermind people talking. And have a forum there where, you know, again, that just multiplies exponentially, you know, the great feedback and the relationships you can build and, you know, just, yeah, that type of collaboration, which I think would be super beneficial. How about you, John? In 1 week, what do you want to get done?
Oh, I gotta get these end of the year reports done. So I'm going to try to get it done by Monday. So I'm going to up it from Thursday to there. And if I get that done, then I'm going to do a personal one. I'm going to get my garage cleaned out. So, but the reports take priority.
Yeah, you never let me see the garage when I stayed there. I didn't ask. You didn't say don't go in, but that's
yeah.
Everybody has something, right?
Yeah, it's a double 2-car garage, and it's filled with 2-car garage worth of stuff. So we got to work on that part. But reports first.
Any cows in there?
No, not anymore. They fixed the fence. That one cow was getting out. All of a sudden, I woke up one morning and went to take a sip of my coffee and looked out the window, and the cow is literally 2 feet on the other side of the window staring back at me.
It's awesome.
Because he got loose. It was, and you know, I haven't been in the country that long, so the city kid, it was a little unnerving to see 2,000 pounds of beef just kind of staring at you. It's like, don't mess up my garage. And it was licking my wife's car. It was weird. Awesome. Very surreal.
Well, yeah, living in Chicago for so long, staying with you was quite a treat because it's a completely different, you know, experience, and it was wonderful. Mm. Yeah. How about you, Sam?
Next week, I'm hoping to get a bunch of interviews done for an English teacher position. I prioritized some of my harder to fill science positions the past month and a half or so, and I filled all of those with great candidates. So now I'm hoping to schedule interview, and hopefully it's hard because I like to have them teach in classrooms. And so I'm at the point now with somewhere where that's not an option. So really, you know, get to know some candidates and find an English teacher. So
it's got to feel great too, building your team, you know, especially with, what was that, like 2 or 3 weeks ago? Like, you were super stressed out, you know, and it's wonderful to see you on the other side of that saying, man, I have my year planned out. I've got the hammock set up. You're hiring your own team. Like, it's starting to all come together. That's fantastic.
Yep. Slowly but surely. I know for sure, though, my husband is loving life more now that I'm a little peaceful. He's a happier person too, I'm sure.
That's great. Hey, you said you hired incredible people. How do you know that they're going to be such a good fit for your culture?
Well, a couple ways. One of the first things I did with my team to try and, you know, get buy-in and show them I care about their opinion is we were going into hiring season. And during one of our Monday, we have Monday meetings, we call them powwows. And during our Monday powwow, we created a list of where we first described our culture and our community of learners and our students and our needs. And then we identified the top 3 to 5 candidates or qualities that we're looking for in candidates that would make them a great team player. And so as I'm asking questions and getting to know them, there are specific things that I'm looking for to see if they'll fit in our environment and with my team. And then once they get through me, they have to get through my boss, who's like, just kind of, yeah. And so between both of us, it's a collective agreement. And typically they'll teach a demo lesson too. But I don't remember if it was on the mastermind or one of my podcasts, but I got this idea. It may have been our group where
let's go with that.
Basically stage a fake problem and have them address it to see how.
Yeah, that's our group.
Was that here?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I did that too. And I love that because then you see right away, are they someone that's going to be quick to jump in or do they just kind of stare at you like you're crazy? So I started doing that too. And that was an awesome idea.
Can you share the scenario really quick? And then we'll wrap up with Fred.
Yeah, so part of our program is we offer a lot of curriculum support online. And so there was a teacher in a particular interview where I started talking about the online program that we use. And the person said she had a ton of experience with it. And I said, oh, really? I'm having this problem. And it happened to be a real problem. And I asked her if she would mind showing me. And I said, no pressure. I know it's an interview, but you know, if you have this experience, I've really been trying to work it out. Turns out she did not have any experience, and she said it in the teaching interview. So that told me a lot about her character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, I've won 12 gold medals in the last Olympics.
Yeah.
Don't ask me to prove it. That's cool. Wow. Well, yeah, you find out a lot, you know, doing those type of scenarios. That's pretty neat. So glad that worked out for you. Fred, what are you going to get done by next week?
All right, two things.
One, two things, oh boy.
Two things. Higher assistant principal of culture, and definitely going to send them through one of those scenarios. Thanks for that, Sam. And number two is to get licensed in Arkansas.
Is that just a bunch of paperwork? You got to take a test or what?
Bunches and bunches of paperwork.
Gotcha.
Got to settle in and get transcripts and XYZ checklists. I got 75% of it done. You know, the last bit is always a tough bit. So that's what's happening.
Hey, Fred, I'm going to push on you. Maybe you're better off just saying you're going to get all your paperwork in. Because if you're beholden to the State Department of Education and you think they're going to work that fast, you're going to be disappointed, and then we're going to have to hold you accountable next week. So just thought.
No. Gotcha.
They'll just turn it in, and then they'll start praying. One day you'll get licensed. Cool. Well, hey, I really appreciate everybody's contribution tonight. And, yeah, it was a great discussion. Sam, thank you for bringing up that issue and thinking about personnel and, you know, what their giftings are and how to serve the community and differences of priorities, all that type of stuff. This is really, really good. So next week, let me pull this up. We've got John, you're on the hot seat. And we're going to be reading pages 216 through 239. Nope, I'm way off. Fred is on the hot seat. John, you're on deck. And we're reading pages 181 to 215. So no problem there. You'll get your email tonight. And I'm going to add the It's Your Ship book to it. So if anybody wants to pick that up. John, is that something we should read in the Mastermind?
It's a great book. It's a great book. I got it recommended from my wife who read it with her district. They bought it and had everybody, like if you read it and took a quiz, everybody in the district got like $100 or something.
Yeah.
It's a quick read. There's a lot of stories to it. I thought there's great value in it.
I keep hearing about it in so many different places. So I'm wondering, you know, I might add it to our book list. But essentially, it, you know, I'm not sure if the title's commander or whatever, but worst performing ship, you know, just the worst ship in the Navy. And think about it in school, right? The worst performing school, the worst class, like, and the mindset you have going in there. Those kids, right? This staff, they don't care. They're terrible. You know, they're all in gangs, they're criminals, you know, just all this negative thinking, right? And he turned around the worst performing ship and made it the best. And it's the story of how he did that. So that might be a good one. So that'll be in the email, hot seat, books. And then I'll have the Facebook group too. So, Carl, you'll just be able to click it and you request access, and I'll make sure that you get in. So, see you next week, same time. Love you all. Enjoy the beautiful weather, and we'll talk soon.
See you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye bye.
See you guys.
Bye bye.
Better leaders, just a few more things before you take off. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. This helps gives the show some social proof, aka iTunes juice, and encourages new people to listen to the show. If you are a social media junkie, share your biggest takeaway from the show, and feel free to tag me on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. Take the letters, switch them around, and create something interesting and new. That's how I got it. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Do you want to get a short email from me every Sunday where I share the best resources I have come across, links to interesting articles, books, blogs, and podcasts that have challenged my thinking, and a quote that's inspired me and will inspire you as well? If you'd like access to this resource, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and join the newsletter at the top of the page. Over 1,000 school leaders subscribe, and I think you'll benefit from it too. In the newsletter, I also share when a new blog or podcast comes out, as well as different opportunities to work with me. Thanks again for listening to the show.